Chapter 87. They had each told roughly the same story to the state investigators. Peepers had an accomplice who came bursting into the house just after the shots had been fired. He grabbed Peepers, knocked Healy over, and exited through the back door. They didn't get a good look at the accomplice, and had no idea where he'd taken Peepers. Elena, who suffered a severe concussion, had no light to shed on any of the events of that morning or the day before. There was a small blessing in that. None of it seemed to matter much to Jesse, who had been AWOL since receiving Diana's autopsy results. He'd buried himself in his house, blaming himself and drinking himself into a stupor. Whenever he would come out of it, he would beat himself up again for neglecting to order Molly not to share information with Healy or Diana. So when Healy, impatient for news, called Molly that morning, she told him about Suit's engagement and their assumption that Peepers had gone to Elena Wheatley's house. It didn't help Jesse's state of mind that Diana's father had made it clear he didn't want Jesse anywhere near Diana's funeral. What did it matter? She was dead because of him, and there was no getting over that. Tamara Elkin had come to the station to try to comfort Jesse and to enlist Molly's help. They were discussing how to approach Jesse when he came out of his office. He smiled at seeing Tamara. It was a sad smile, the saddest smile she thought she'd ever seen or was likely to see. Then again, most people don't smile at the medical examiner. The ME seldom has the kind of news anyone is apt to smile about. She had handed Jesse the autopsy file, but without the photographs. She knew that not even Jesse Stone, the toughest man she had ever met, would be able to forget those photos. Still, she knew Jesse would want to see the report for himself. Molly and Tamara sat by helplessly as Jesse read the results. "Did she feel it, do you think?" he asked, putting the folder down. Tamara shook her head. "No, Jesse, death would have been pretty much instantaneous." But she knew. There had to be a split second when she knew. Tamara stood up and came to stand by him. She placed her hand on his shoulder. "I don't know that, Jesse. No one knows the answer to that." "I don't like thinking that she knew or that she felt pain." "Jesse, please, don't." There were no tears in his eyes, but he looked as shaken as Molly had ever seen him. "Do you think she felt pain?" Tamara pointed to a line in the report. "I can't answer that, Jesse. It's very possible she didn't. If she did, it didn't last long." Jesse handed the folder back to her. Molly nodded at Tamara to go, to give Jesse time to process things in his own way. Tamara understood. "If you need me, Jesse, I'm a phone call away," she said. Jesse went back into his office and finished the bottle of Tullamore Dew he had bought to celebrate Healy's retirement. He hadn't been back in since Gabe Weathers drove him home that night. Jen, Hale Hunsicker, Jed Pruitt, and Scott Kahan had all called and left messages, many messages. Jesse ignored them all. There was a knock on his door. He was in between bouts with himself and in the mood for a real fight. So he answered the door, hoping someone would give him an excuse to throw a punch. But it was Vinnie Morris, dressed as always in a few thousand dollars worth of designer clothing. He had a bottle of Black Label in one hand and a large brown envelope in the other. Vinnie nodded. "Stone? Morris? All right if I come in?" Jesse didn't answer. He walked away from the open door and headed toward the bar in his den. Vinnie closed the door behind him and followed Jesse in, noticing the house was in disarray. Vinnie liked things smooth and orderly, neat and clean, but he understood.
"I heard you aren't doing so good," he said. "I can see for myself that's true."
Jesse ignored him.
"What's that?" he asked, pointing at Morris. "You don't recognize a bottle of Johnny Walker Black? You're worse off than I heard."
"Stop it, Vinnie. The envelope. What's in the envelope?" A thin smile rose at one corner of Morris's lips.
"Proof of death," Vinnie said. tossing the envelope at Jesse's feet. Thought you might want to see how badly Peeper suffered on his way to hell. Though I gotta say, the photos don't do it justice. I would have made a video for you, but I think you understand why I didn't. Jesse knelt down and collected the envelope. He's dead? Never seen anybody deader or suffer more on the way to dead. Thanks for that. I owe you. No, you don't. The accounts are closed. Vinny put the bottle down on the coffee table. See you around, Stone. When Jesse heard Vinny close the door behind him, he went to open the envelope, but stopped himself. He decided there was nothing in the envelope he wanted to see, if it couldn't change the past. And there was nothing he'd ever seen or known that could turn that trick. Diana was gone, and Peepers, too. Nothing would undo that. Morris had said the accounts were closed, but he was wrong. There was a balance to be paid, and Jesse would be paying it off for the rest of his life. Jesse twisted off the cap and drank straight from the bottle of Black Label Vinnie Morris had left behind. He looked at the envelope with the death photos of Peepers, shook his head, and laughed. He tossed the unopened envelope into the fireplace, threw a few logs on top of it, and put a long match to it. He sat in his recliner, drinking, watching it burn until there was nothing left. No fire, no envelope, no smoke. Only ashes. He stood up and turned to the long-neglected poster of Ozzie Smith. Jesse raised the bottle and drank a giant gulp in a single swallow. After a short period of real possibility, it was back to being just the two of them, the great shortstop and the police chief, one frozen in midair, the other now just frozen.